Tonight's shiur is on Parshas Vayeshev, which is this week's parsha, and the topic of the shiur tonight is the seduction of Yosef. I want to address and take up the area in which Ashes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, in the beginning when Yosef is brought down to Mitzrayim, tries to seduce Yosef. I want to understand what the motivation was of Ashes Potiphar and Yosef, and the purpose of the story in this week's parsha, in Parshas Vayeshev. I'm going to break it up into different parts. The first part of the shiur is going to address the motivations of Yosef and the motivations of Ashes Potiphar and how they coincide in the story in terms of teaching us a lesson and teaching us an idea about Yosef. So we'll begin with Perek Lamed Tes Pasuk Aleph. I'm going to read through the first six psukim and then we'll go straight into Rashi and try to understand it on a deeper level. V'yosef hurad mitzrayimo, v'yikneu potifar sris paro sar tabachem, ish mitzri miyad hayishmaelim asher horiduhu shama. Yosef, after he was sold by the brothers, he was brought down to Mitzrayim, and he was bought by a man named Potiphar, who was the head of the slaughterers, ish mitzri, he was an Egyptian man, from the Ishmaelim, who brought him down to Mitzrayim. V'yihi Hashem es Yosef, v'yihi ish matzliach, v'yihi beveis adunav hamitzri. Hashem was with Yosef, and he was very successful, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian master. V'yar adunav ki Hashem ito, v'chol asher hu oseh, Hashem matzliach biado. And his master saw that Hashem was with him, and whatever Yosef did, his hands prospered. Va'insa Yosef chen be'inov, va'yisharis oso, va'yafkideu al beso, v'chol yeshlo nasan biado. Yosef found favor in the eyes of his master, Potiphar, and he was appointed over his whole household, and he gave everything to Yosef in order to control, in order to be appointed over. Vayhi me'az hefkid oso, we're on Pasuk Hey, vayhi me'az hefkid oso beveso, v'al kol asher yeshlo. Once he did that, once Yosef was given power over the household, Vayivarach Hashem es beis hamitzri beglal Yosef, vayihi berkas Hashem bechol asher yeshlo babayis uvasadeh. Yosef was very successful because of Hashem. Hashem, he blessed the house of the Mitzri, and everything in the house and in the field was successful and prosperous. And in Pasuk Vav, it says, Vayazov kol asher lo biyad Yosef. Everything was left to Yosef. V'lo yada ito me'uma kim halechem asher hu ochel, vayhi Yosef yifei soar v'yifei mara. Everything was left to Yosef except for the bread in which he would eat, which we're going to explain. And Yosef was very good looking. He was both good looking in terms of what his face looked like and the image of his face. Everything was good looking. Okay, so just to summarize the first six psukim, Yosef, he's brought down to Mitzrayim. And who's he sold to? He's sold to Potiphar. Potiphar was one of the sarim of Paro. He was the head of all the slaughterers of Paro. And so Potiphar liked Yosef, and Yosef was very successful because Hashem was with him. But also at the end, in Vav, it says that Yosef was good-looking. He was very good-looking. He had handsome features and a beautiful complexion. Okay, so this is the backdrop to the whole idea of the shiur, the whole area of the shiur, which is that Yosef was sold into this environment. And we're going to look at Rashi first. In number two, Rashi introduces a new idea, that we're gonna try to analyze. Look at number two, source number two. V'yosef hurad chuzer le'inyon rishon. It's going back to the first area. There was a little bit of a break with the story of Yehuda and Tamar, and now it's going back to the story of Yosef. Yosef was sold by his brothers. Ella, so why does it break it? Ella shehifsik bo. Why does it break up the story of Yosef? Kedei lismoch yiridaso shel Yehuda lemichiraso shel Yosef. In order to tie in the demotion of Yehuda to the selling of Yosef. Lomar l'cha, to teach you, to tell you, shebishvilo horidu migdulaso. Because the brothers, they demoted Yehuda once they sold Yosef. They saw that it was a bad decision to sell Yosef, and they demoted Yehuda as a result of that decision. Fine, not really what I want to focus on in this year, but that's an interesting idea, interesting point. Let's go on. The ode, furthermore, why are we being so meich this story? Why are we attaching this story of Yosef in the base Potiphar to the last story of Yehuda? Kedei lismoch maase ishto shel Potiphar lemaase Tamar. In order to compare and connect the story of the wife of Potiphar to Tamar, the story of Tamar. Lomar lecha mazu l'shem shemayim, to tell you that just like this one was for the purpose of heaven by Tamar, Avzu l'shem shamayim. So too, by Eshes Potiphar, in her pursuit of Yosef, there was a good there. It was l'shem shamayim. It was for the purpose of heaven. Shira'a sab itstrologin shalah. She saw with her astrologers, she'asida lahamid bane mimenu, that she would have children through Yosef. Ve'eno yodas, but she wasn't sure, im mimena im mibita. She wasn't sure if it was from her or her daughter. Now, this is a medrash that I want to focus on. There's a lot of strange aspects to this medrash that Rashi's quoting. One idea, I mean, anybody have any questions on this medrash? It's trying to compare the two by saying that Eshes Potiphar had good intentions, like Tamar, and she went to the astrologers and they told her, it's either going to be from you that you have children through Yosef or through your daughter. Okay, what is the difference then between, one question is, what's the difference between Tamar and Eshes Potiphar? Tamar, if we just a refresher on the story of Tamar, Tamar was married to Yehuda's son, and then he died, and then she was remarried to another son, Aaron Onan, and then once they died, she was promised to Shelah, but Yehuda didn't want to give Shelah to Tamar, and Tamar ends up dressing like a prostitute, and she seduces Yehuda and has children through Yehuda. That was the story of Tamar. And here, Eshes Potiphar, even though we didn't read it inside, is going to seduce Yosef. And Rashi's introducing it by saying that there was a good, there's a l'shem shamayim. And we know that Tamar was rewarded for her actions, but Eshes Potiphar is not rewarded for her actions. In fact, it seems to be a flaw on the part of Eshes Potiphar. So what is the comparison between Tamar and Eshes Potiphar exactly? And why is Tamar, why was she rewarded for acting l'shem shamayim, even though she did an isser? It was an Aveira l'shem shamayim, but yet Eshes Potiphar is not. She's not rewarded. In fact, it seems like she's criticized in this story. Furthermore, if she was unclear as to whether it was her or her daughter, she should have recognized that, it seemed obvious that she should have recognized that she's married. She was married to Potiphar at the time. So if you're going to guess which one is it from me or from my daughter, based on the astrologers, I would say, logically, that it's my daughter, that it's going to come through my daughter, because I'm married right now to Potiphar. So why did she interpret it, or why exactly did she interpret it that it must be her, that it's not her daughter? Now, what do we mean by her daughter? Look later on in Mem Aleph in Miketz. It says number 3, Vayikra paro shem Yosef tzafnas paneach vayiten lo es osnas bas potifera kohen on leisha vayite Yosef al eretz Mitzrayim. In the end, the Torah actually tells us that Yosef was given osnas, who was the daughter of Eshes Potiphar, and Potiphar, his name was changed for, there's a lot of Midrashim on that. But he did actually marry the daughter of Eshes Potiphar. So that really happened. But once again, the question is, if that really happened and she was unclear as to whether it was her or daughter, why not defer and say that, oh, it's going to be my daughter? That's one question. And the other question is, what exactly is the comparison between Eshes Potiphar and Tamar, and what's the difference between the two stories? Why is it that Tamar was rewarded for actions of seducing Yehuda, whereas Eshes Potiphar was not rewarded? She seems to be criticized in the story. Okay? So those are the two questions. We're gonna answer the questions together, but I want to also understand Yosef's, because I think there's a relationship between Yosef's flaw and the flaw of Eshes Potiphar and the whole story. So I just want to go a little bit further in the Pesukim and do one other Rashi, or a couple other Rashis, and then we'll come back to this and try to explain it. Okay, I hope hopefully the question's clear. If somebody wants me to repeat it, I'll repeat it. Okay, good. Okay, if we go on, look in number 4 in Rashi. It says that, Vayara Adonov ki Hashem ito. What does it mean, Hashem ito? Rashi says, Shem Shamayim Shagur Befiv. He would always talk about Hashem. The name of Hashem was in his mouth. He was constantly referencing Hashem. So also interesting. Why is that? Why is that necessary to tell us that he would always talk about Hashem? And we're going to address that, but we'll just hold off on explaining that. V'chol yashlo, look in Dalet. This is number 4, the second line. V'chol yashlo, hare lashon katzar chaser asher. It should say everything that he had, asher yashlo, was given to Yosef. V'lo yada ito me'uma. He didn't have any complaints. Lohaya nosin libo leklum. He trusted Yosef. Potiphar trusted Yosef, except kiim halechem. The only thing he withheld from Yosef was he ishto, was his wife. Ela shadiber belashon nekia. The Torah is calling the wife lechem. It's a euphemism. But the only thing that he prevented Yosef from having was access to his wife. So what happens? At the end, it says that he was beautiful. Vayhi Yosef yifei soar. Kevon Shira Atmo Moshe, this is the last Rashi, number 4, once he saw himself as a leader, as a powerful ruler, Hischil Ochel Vishosa Umesalso Bisaro. He started eating and drinking, and he cut his hair. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Avicha Misabel, your father is mourning over your loss. Ve'ata Misalso Bisarecha, you're cutting your hair, you're playing with your hair. Ani Megar Bechaz Adov, I'm going to incite the bear against you. Miyad, immediately, Vatisa Eshes Adonav, immediately Eshes Potiphar, she tries to seduce Yosef right after this. Kol Makum Shenemar Achar Samach, because right after, in number 6, it says, Vayihi Achar Advarim. Right after this, it's her job, or she has this mission to try to seduce Yosef and be with Yosef. Okay? So let's understand, what is the flaw of Yosef here? Was the flaw that, what does it mean that Hashem is saying your father is mourning and you're playing with your hair? Was it improper? What was improper? What exactly was the reason or the flaw that Yosef had in this situation? That he ate and he drank? What does it mean that he ate and he drank? Or that he was playing with his hair? What's the big deal? Why is that a flaw? And furthermore, if it's just a flaw that he was too egocentric, then why does it matter that his father was mourning and he was doing it at the time that his father was mourning? So I just want to understand also, in addition to our questions on the motivation of Eshes Potiphar, what was Yosef's flaw? And they seem to fit with one another, because as soon as his flaw is recognizable, the Medrash tells us that all of a sudden Eshes Potiphar is on the prowl, and she's hunting down Yosef to be with Yosef. So what's going on here? What's the idea? What's the backdrop of the story of the seduction of Yosef? Okay, so those are the questions that are raised in the shir. Anybody have any possibilities or any thoughts on the area so far? Yeah, go ahead.
And a question of why wasn't Yosef criticized for not like trying to get in touch with his father?
That's a separate question. Excellent question. I just really don't want to take that up tonight, but it's a very good question. A lot of the midrashim take that up. Maybe it'll come out in our answer. Okay. Any other questions on the story so far, or any other thoughts or possibilities as to why? What the exact nature of Yosef's flaw was, or the motivation of Eshes Potiphar, and the comparison with Eshes Potiphar and Tamar. What's the difference between the two, and what's the comparison between the two? Okay. So let's just go back to the, and this is going to be the first idea in the shir in developing the whole story of the seduction of Yosef. If we go back to the Medrash that says that Eshes Potiphar was comparable to Tamar, that she was L'shem Shamayim, because she went to the astrologer and she saw that either herself or her daughter would have children through Yosef. What's the meaning of the Medrash? What's the Medrash trying to teach us about Eshes Potiphar? I think just to try to explain the Medrash, we see that Eshes Potiphar was not initially, she was not initially attracted to Yosef, but the Rashi later on says that her attraction to Yosef came after he started acting like a leader, like a ruler. It says right after, Vayhi Yosef Yifei Soar, Rashi says, over there in the last Rashi, Miyad, right away, Vatisa Eshes Adonov, that right away she was on the prowl and she was trying to seduce Yosef. It seems like, based on that, that her attraction to Yosef was tied to the fact that he was a leader and a ruler, and she was attracted to leadership and to the quality of power that a leader possessed. And another proof for that is the fact that she's married to Potiphar. Potiphar was no slouch himself. He was the Sar Tabachim. He was the head of the slaughterers. So part of her attraction, and she was attracted to men who were powerful, who were rulers. But on the other hand, Rashi's saying that she also had a certain value of morality. It wasn't just that she was attracted to Yosef because he was good-looking, but and also because he was a ruler, but also she did have a value of morality. It says L'shem Shamayim. She did want to be part of the nation of Israel. She did want to partake of the philosophy of the Jewish people. Just like Tamar, we see by Tamar, what was her motivation? Her motivation was, if you look in number 5, what was Tamar's motivation? Ki rasa ki gadal Shelah. She saw that Shelah got older, Yehuda's third son, and Yehuda didn't give Tamar to his third son. Lefichach hifkira atzma etzel Yehuda. Therefore, she was mafkir herself. She allowed herself to be hefker, to be, unowned by Yehuda. Shehaisa misave lahamid mimenu banim, because she desired very strongly to have children through Yehuda's lineage. So both Tamar and Ishes Potiphar, they were both motivated by good values. They both saw a value, a moral value, in being part of Klal Yisrael. Just like Tamar wanted to have children through Yehuda, so too Ishes Potiphar wanted to have children through Yosef because she saw Yosef as having the true morality and true ethics. But on the other hand, I would say that the difference between Tamar and Ishes Potiphar is that Ishes Potiphar, she was attracted to Yosef not just because of his moral standing, but also because of his power and his rulership. And she sensed that Yosef wouldn't just be one of the Shvatim, but that he possessed the qualities to be a leader of Klal Yisrael. And only once she sees him as a leader does her attraction take her to the point of seduction. Until that point, she doesn't seduce him. But once she sees him as a leader, then she seduces him. So the difference between, or the comparison between Tamar and Ishes Potiphar is that Tamar was willing to be with Yehuda just to be part of Klal Yisrael, and she didn't care about Yehuda, what Yehuda was in as part of the Shvatim. She didn't care that Yehuda was a leader. It didn't matter. All she wanted to do was Lahamid Banim. But Potiphar, she intertwined and she mixed two different ideas. On the one hand, she valued Yosef because of his morality, but on the other hand, she was attracted to his power, and she couldn't separate the two. She didn't just want to be with Yosef because of the fact that he was a good person and because of the fact that he was part of the Shiftei Ka, but on the other hand, but part of her attraction to him was because of his power and his rulership and his ruler qualities. And that's the concept of the astrologers. What does it mean that she saw that it was either her or her daughter? It means that both her and her daughter, they had qualities, genetic, I guess, and personality qualities that seemed to make them suitable for a leadership, for a ruler. And she sensed that. She understood that it was either be both she had a quality of being appropriate to marry a leader, and so too her daughter had the quality of being appropriate to marry a leader. She was a leader in herself. She was married to Potiphar. And that's what the Medrash is telling us, that she possessed that quality. But the flaw of Ishes Potiphar is that she tied too much of her attraction to Yosef to the fact that he was a ruler, and she didn't just tie her attraction to Yosef to wanting to be part of the Shvatim, as opposed to Tamar, who just wanted to be part of the Shvatim. So that's how I would address. That's how I would understand the motivation of Ishes Potiphar. But if you look at Yosef, how does this fit in with Yosef? What was Yosef's flaw? Was it that Yosef's flaw? It wasn't that he was too egocentric. It doesn't say that because he was a ruler and he just ate and drank that was his flaw. But no, it was the fact that his father was mourning and he was indulging in his rulership and his leadership. So what's the problem with that? See, the problem with Yosef was that he saw his leadership as being separate from Klal Yisrael, from being a leader of Klal Yisrael. And the plan, the whole idea of Yosef being sold into Mitzrayim, and the plan was that eventually Yosef would be the leader of a leader in Mitzrayim, but he would always primarily be the leader of the Shvatim, the leader of Klal Yisrael. And he could never forget that. And in the house of Potiphar, he was able to forget the fact or forget the situation that was happening at home. He forgot about the situation of the Shvatim, he forgot about his father, and he was able to separate his sense of leadership, his sense of rulership, from his primary mission, which was to be the ruler of Klal Yisrael, to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. And at that point, once he saw himself as a leader apart from Klal Yisrael, that's when she starts to seduce him, and that's when the story really takes off. So we have two things going on here. Let me just summarize, because hopefully it's clear. If anybody has any questions, please stop me. We have two things going on. On the one hand, Ishes Potiphar was similar to Tamar in the sense that she had good intentions. She did value morality, but on the other hand, she couldn't separate it from her seeking out power and rulership. And she was only attracted to Yosef, not because of his morality alone, but because he would be the power, the leader over Klal Yisrael. And she sensed that he had those qualities. And that was the problem with Ishes Potiphar. And the problem with Yosef, and they coincide, is that Yosef, it's not that he thought of himself as being godlike. It's not that he thought of himself as too egocentric. It's that his sense of leadership and rulership and power was divorced from the whole situation that was happening at home. It means that he was able to forget about his role in Klal Yisrael. And that was the flaw that Yosef possessed. And that's what Rashi's telling you. Rashi's telling you, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avicha Misabel Ve'ata Misalsa B'sarecha. It's not that he was wrong for eating and drinking, but it was the fact that he was eating and drinking divorced and distinct from what was happening at home with his father and with his family. He was able to separate himself, and that was the problem. There was the flaw in Yosef. And once he's able to see himself as a leader, now he has to face all the indulgences that a leader usually faces. A leader usually faces temptations. So that's what happens to Yosef. Yosef is faced with the temptation of being with the wife of Potiphar. Any questions? Anybody have any thoughts on the phone lines? Anybody?
I don't see how Ishak Potiphar was moral, because, I mean, she was a married woman, and that really even went against, you know, that really went against the Torah. So I see that maybe she was.
It says that, it says by Tamar, but the Medrash is saying that there's some comparison between her and Tamar, and Tamar also, Tamar wasn't exactly justified in being with Yehuda. It was an Avera, but it's an Avera Lishma. She did an Avera for Lishem Shemayim, because her intention was that she needed to be part of Klal Yisrael. So it's so too over here. It's saying that she wasn't just evil, Ishes Potiphar, but part of her personality was that she was attracted to the good. She's attracted to being part of the Shvatim. She wasn't just trying to ignore her husband. She wasn't trying to reject her husband, but she did have a value of the morality of Klal Yisrael, and that's the comparison between her and Tamar. But I think the fact that she was too drawn into his rulership and his leadership, because that was a primary, her primary attraction, that was her flaw. That was what drove her to being over this and to over this Isser, and drove her to really giving in to her drives and her instincts. So it's really the point that I'm trying to make is that she's a complex person. She's not just, it's not simple that she just had a thing for Yosef, and she, you know, she was an older woman. Actually, I don't know how old she was, but he was young, and she just had a thing for Yosef. It's not so simple. No, she was complex. She did sense and value Yosef's values, that Yosef, you know, was a moral person, and he believed in God. But on the other hand, she couldn't divorce that. She couldn't be with somebody who wasn't a leader, and she needed to be with a leader, and that's the problem. That's what drove her to, that was part of her motivation, and that was a flaw on her part. And Yosef also, Yosef's flaw also existed within his perspective of leadership, of rulership, that he looked at himself as a ruler outside of his family. And that was improper for him. That was a flaw on his part, that he should never forget about his role and his mission to be a ruler over Klal Yisrael. Okay, so how does she go about, let's go on. How does she go about seducing him? What's her tactic? She's a very smart, very shrewd woman. Let's look in the psukim. Look at number 6. It says, "Vayhi achar advarim ha'elev, atisa eshes Adonav es eneha el Yosef, vatomer shechva imi." She looks up, she sees that Yosef was very attractive, and she wants to be with him. And she says, "Lie down with me." Okay, vayima'ein, he refuses. "Vayomer eshes Adonav, hein Adoni lo yada iti ma babayis, v'chol asher yeshlo nasan biyadi." That my master, he knows nothing about anything in the house, and all he has given into my hand. He gave me everything, and he trusts me. How am I going to do all these things and sin towards Hashem? My master, your husband, he's entrusted me with his household, and how could I do such a thing? And it says in Yud, "Vayhi kitab ruach el Yosef yom yom v'lo shama ila lishkav etzlach liyosima." She kept trying to wear on him, and she tried to convince him and entice him, and he wouldn't listen. "Vayhi kayom azeh," and then finally there is one day which we're gonna look at inside. "Vayhi kayom azeh vayavo abayis al lasos malachto." Yosef came back to do his work. "Ve'ein ish me'anshei abayis shom babayis." Nobody else was there. Okay, so she's trying. She has a tactic. And we're going to address what her tactic was to seduce Yosef. And finally, there's a point where nobody's around and she gets her chance to be with Yosef. So let's look at number 7 in Rashi. Rashi says, "On Pasuk Tes, V'chatasi le'lokim, b'nei noach nitztavu al ha'arayas." Yosef didn't want to be a sinner. He didn't want to be over an avera to Hashem and be over the b'nei noach, the mitzvah b'nei noach, which is that there's an isser to be with a married woman. Lishgav etzla, afilu belo tashmish, even without tashmish, which is interesting. She just wanted to set him up and say, "Oh, just lie down with me. I'm not going to do anything. We'll just lie down together." Lios ima, the olam haba, to be with her in olam haba. It's part of her, we're going to understand what that means. What does it mean that she was trying to convince him by saying that she wants to be with him even in olam haba, and that was her intention? And then look in Yud Aleph, "Vayik hayom azeh." What was this day? Klomar, "Vayik hasher higia yom miyuchad." It was a special day, Yom Tzchok, a day of laughter and joyousness. Yom Eid Shalahem, it was a holiday for all the Mitzrim. Shehalchu Kulam Leves Avodah Zarah. All of the Mitzrim went to the base of Avodah Zarah on that day. Amra, and she said, Ein li Yom Hagon Lehizakik Li Yosef Kayom Azeh. This is the best day to be with Yosef. Amra Lahem Chola Ani. She told everybody, I'm sick. Ve'eni Yechola Leilich. She said, I can't go. So she tricked everybody. She lied to everybody. She said she's sick. She didn't want to go to the base of Avodah Zarah in order to finally get her chance to seduce Yosef. So what is her tactic exactly in seducing Yosef, according to Rashi? I think the idea is that she was trying to present herself. If you look in Rashi, she's trying to present herself as in a moral way. The fact that she picks the day that everybody goes to do Avodah Zarah and she's the only one who stays back, she's trying to show Yosef that, no, she's not an Oved Avodah Zarah. She doesn't value their values. She's trying to, when you go on a date, a woman who wants to impress a guy on a date, she tries to understand what the values of the guy is, and she tries to, to fit into those values. And if a guy likes basketball, she'll go to the basketball game with him, if she likes the guy. That's what happens. So too, she understood, Ashes Potiphar understood that Yosef's value was morality, and Yosef really, he was attracted to a moral person. She's trying to demonstrate that by saying, oh, I'm staying back. I'm not an Oved Avodah Zarah like everybody else. I'm the moral one, and they're all Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And that's the idea of Liosi Malo Olam Abba, and Afilu Below Tashmish. She just wants to lie down next to him. She's trying to present herself as a good person, as somebody who values the same morals that Yosef values, because she understood that that's the way to get to his heart, to get to Yosef's heart, and to actually entice him. So that's Rashi's approach. Rashi's saying that the method that she used was very shrewd, as I said before, and she's trying to use the appropriate method to try to get Yosef to be with her, and that method was to present herself as a good, as a good person, as a good woman, and therefore she thought by doing that Yosef would give in and Yosef would be with her. The Gemara, on the other hand, the Gemara presents a little bit of a different approach that she had, and I also want to analyze the way the Gemara approaches it. If you look in number 8 in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Hamad Beis, the Gemara says, "Amro lava Yosef Hatzadik." It says about Yosef Hatzadik, "Bichol yom vayob haisa eshes Potiphar mishadalto bedvarim." Every day, the wife of Potiphar would try to entice him with words. "Begadim shelov shelo shachres lo lov shelo arvis." She was constantly changing her clothes. "Begadim shelov shelo arvis lo lov shelo shachres," and she would change her clothes. Her morning clothes wouldn't be the same as her evening clothes, and vice versa. Amr lo, she said to him, Hashmei Ali, listen to me, yield to me, give in to me. Amr lo lav, he said, no, I'm not going to. Amr lo, she says back to him, Hareini chovashtecha bevesa asurin, I'm going to put you in jail. Amr lo, he says back to her, Hashem matir asurim. Hashem, he frees the imprisoned, those who are imprisoned. Hare kofefes komascha, I'm going to bend down your stature. He says back, Hashem, zokef kfufim. No, Hashem straightens out those who are bent. Hareini misame eseinecha, I'm going to blind you in your eyes. Hashem pokeach ivrim, he opens up the eyes of those who are blind. Finally, nasna lo elef kikari kasef, she gives him 1,000 pieces of silver, lishmo elea, lishgavetzla, to be with her. And he says, liosima velo rata lishmo elea. And nevertheless, he did not listen to her. She tries 3 different tactics. One is she changes her clothes. Another one is that she tries talking to him about how she tries to threaten him, and then the last tactic that she uses is she tries to give him money. So what is the, according to the Gemara, what is the nature of her tactic? It wasn't, Rashi was saying that her tactic was to present herself as a moral person. Oh, I'm a good person. I'm somebody you want to be with. But the Gemara is saying a little bit different. I think the Gemara is saying that she's trying to feed into, she understood that Yosef looked at himself as a leader, and he was eating more and indulging himself like a leader and a ruler. She's trying to play into that. But how is she trying to do that? Either she's trying to entice him through different imagery. Fine, she's trying to change her clothes. She's trying to look beautiful before him. Just like a ruler typically rulers have many wives, they have many girlfriends. So too, she's trying to give in to his sense of leadership by enticing him through the way she looks. Fine, that's one method. But what's the whole back and forth about Hashem? A leader, typically a leader, what's the flaw, the normal flaw of a leader? The normal flaw of a leader is that they're too egocentric, that they look at themselves as godlike. And we said before by Rashi that Yosef, he didn't look at himself as godlike. In fact, Rashi says that the Shem Hashem was Shagar Befiv, Hashem Ito. He was always talking about Hashem. But what is she trying to do? She's trying to get him. If a person feels powerful and you say to them, I'm going to imprison you, I'm going to put you in prison, the normal reaction is, I'd like to see you try. I'm too powerful. You can't do anything to me. You can't affect me. But in fact, Yosef's response is the opposite. No, Hashem is the true ruler. Hashem is all powerful. So what does that show you? It shows you that she was trying to feed into his sense of leadership. She's trying to present herself as beautiful, entice him, just like a leader has many women, many girlfriends. She's also trying to threaten him to see if he would react and give in to his emotions and his ego. And finally, she gives him money. Money is also power. The leaders typically have a lot of money. So she's trying three different methods of indulging his leadership. But Yosef's response is no. Because Yosef's flaw was not a flaw that he overlooked, that he overestimated himself. But rather, his flaw was that he forgot about his role amongst Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash, this Gemara is also reflecting that. That he was able to understand that he wasn't a true leader in a godlike sense. But on the other hand, his flaw was that he looked at himself as independent from his family. So he was kind of also complex. Ashes Potiphar was complex in her motives, but Yosef is equally complex, according to the Medrash, that on the one hand, he appreciated God. He appreciated Melech Malchei Melechim, I'm not like God. But on the other hand, he should have never been able to look at himself as a leader apart from his role amongst Klal Yisrael. Okay? So we're continuing on with the theme, the same theme. Any questions, any thoughts at this point? Anybody want me to summarize the idea so far up to this point? Okay, good, great. So what happens finally in the story? So we have the whole build-up. We have the build-up as to what their motivations were and how she goes about enticing Yosef and how Yosef, up to this point, is able to reject her, you know, her enticements and reject her. And finally, it says in number 9 that he went home, lasos malachto. And this is a famous Gemara, machlokes. What does it mean that he went home? Yosef came home to do his malacha, to do his work. Rav and Shmuel, it's machlokes. Chad Amar malachto mamish. One side says that he came home to do his work, mamish, just do his work. The Chad Amar, and another says, lasos tzrach of ima, that he really intended to be with her, that he couldn't hold back, and it was too hard for him. And he needed to, she was attractive, and he wanted to be with her. Ela sheniris lo demusti yokno shel aviv. But he saw the image of his father, the Gemara says, and through seeing the image of his father, he was able to refrain from being with her. He was able to refrain. So there are two different approaches. One approach is that he came back to do his malacha, and he wasn't intending to be with her, and she created the whole situation. And the other is that no, that he really did intend to be with her, but he was able to only stop himself by seeing his father, by accessing his father. Now, the point I just want to make about this medrash, based on what we're saying, is that he had a flaw, and it seems from the medrash that he wasn't aware of the flaw. Either it says, one says, Chadamar Malachto Mamish, he's going back to do his work. It means that he didn't intend to be with her, but still he wasn't able to see what caused him, I guess, or what caused the situation to emerge. And the idea of Malachto Mamish is that he ignored or he was unable to see what was going on. And that was, you know, that fits into the story. The other possibility is that he wasn't able to, if it said that at the time that she approached him, he worked it out and he worked on himself and he realized that it was the wrong decision, fine. So that would be a high level. But the concept of seeing his father's image means that he was really attracted to her. He really didn't work through his flaw. And in fact, the only way that he was able to refrain was by referencing his father, by referencing the, you know, an image that he had of his father, which is kind of a secondary way of working through your flaw. And this fits in. Why am I saying this? What happens in the end to Yosef? Where is Yosef sent to in the end of the story? In the end of the story, Yosef is put in jail. Now, why was it necessary for Yosef to be put in jail based on what we're saying? Let's look in the Psukim. Look at number 10 in Perek Lamites. Vatispaseu, wait one second. Vatispaseu bevigdo lemor shichva imi v'yazo bigdo biyadof v'yonas v'yitei chutzo. She grabs him by his clothes and says, lie with me. And he runs out and leaves his clothing with her. Vahi kir osoh ki azav bigdo biyadof v'yonas ha'chutzo. She saw that he he ran away. Vatikro la'anshei biso vatomer lahem le'mor ru'u hevi lanu ish ivri l'tzachik banu ba'e lai l'shkavimi va'ekro b'kol gadol. She calls out that Yosef was trying to seduce her. She blames it on Yosef. Vayhi kishamo kiarimosi koli va'ekro v'yazo b'gdo etzli v'yanas v'yitei achutza. What happened? Yosef heard that I was screaming and he ran away. And that's why his clothes in my hands. Vatanach b'gdo etzla adbo adonov el beso. She kept his clothing until Potiphar came home from his workday. Vatadaberi love kadvarema ela lemor bo elai evere vriasher hevesa lanu litzachikbi. She says to him that these are the things that he's done to me, and we're going to look into that. Vayhi karimi koli vayakra vayazo b'gdo etzli vayanas achutza. She goes through the whole story. Vayhi kishmo adonov es divrei ishto asher dibro elav lemor kadvarema ela asali avdecha vayhi charapo. Potiphar understandably gets upset about this whole story. Vayikach Adonai Yosef oso vayitneo beis asor mekom asher asireu hamelech asirim vayisham beis asor. What happens? He gets put into jail. Now, why does Yosef have to be put into jail? Based on the whole story, the whole purpose of the story here, because Yosef before he could be a leader in Mitzrayim. This is all a precursor because he goes to jail and then he gets out of jail and he becomes the second leader in Mitzrayim. Before that, he has to go through a leadership experience he goes through a leadership experience in the house of Potiphar, but he doesn't approach his leadership properly, and he's unable to connect himself to his brothers and his leadership in terms of Klal Yisrael. And the solution, the appropriate onesh for him, was to be put in jail. He had to lower himself. He had to see himself in a lower sense, as a slave, even below a slave, beneath the slave, but imprisoned, in order to overcome his flaw of approaching his leadership in the wrong way, of approaching his leadership as being apart from that of Klal Yisrael. So it's appropriate that at the end of the story, the onesh given to Yosef through this whole story and through the hashgacha in the story is that he's placed in jail as a result of this. He had to work out his leadership and his rulership issues before he could take on the role and leader of Mitzrayim and also lead Klal Yisrael into Mitzrayim properly. Okay, let's look at the last, look in Rashi. One last point, which is also I find interesting, there's a Rashi and a Ramban. Rashi says, how did she convince Potiphar to imprison Yosef? It says in Rashi, Vayhi kishmo Adonov, Bishas Tashmish Amr lo kin. When she was intimate with her husband, she said to him, Vizesha Amra Kadvarim Aila Asali Avdecha, as they were being intimate with one another, she was saying, oh, this is what Yosef did to me, in Yani Tashmish Kaila. What we're doing is what Yosef did to me. Now why did she present this to Potiphar, presented in this way? Why don't she just go to Potiphar and say, you know, listen, this is what happened to me? Why does the Medrash say that she was intimate with Potiphar, and at the time that they were intimate, she's saying, oh, this is what Yosef did to me? What's the purpose of that? So once again, Ashes Potiphar, very smart, she understood that...
Really angry.
Yes, very angry. Why would that make you more angry? Let me ask you, why do you think that would make you more angry than just somebody coming to you and saying that, you know, he was trying to, that he was with me, that he raped me or whatever. Why would that make him more angry? Like, yeah.
Visual imagery and it's making it more real, so to say, I think. Oh, I don't know.
Okay, good. I think it's also an idea of replacing him, right? It's one thing if you're out in the field and you have an encounter with there's an affair going on. But it's another thing that she's saying to her husband, oh, this is what Yosef is doing to me. Meaning Yosef, just like you, possesses leadership. He knew that Yosef was a ruler and he loved Yosef. He trusted him, but he sensed that Yosef would be successful as a leader, as a ruler. That's why he appointed him over his whole house. And now she's in bed with him and she's saying, oh, she's trying to give off the impression that he could be replaced by Yosef, that Yosef could be his replacement. And that's how she gets him to get so angry. It's not that she understands how to push his button. She understands that the best way to get Potiphar angry is by demonstrating and showing him that it wasn't just a fling, but it's that Yosef is almost replacing him in a certain sense. And that was her tactic. That was her method. One last point in the Ramban. Potiphar, he was actually, there's a question that Ramban asked that, look at number 12. And this is more of a pshat type of question. In your test, Vayhi kishmo Adonov, Bishas Tashmish Amr lo kadverim ha'ela asli avdecha, in Yoni Tashmish ke'ela, Rashi. V'chach Amru bereshis Rabba, Rabbi Yavo Amr Bishas Tashmish. He quotes Rashi, and Rashi is based on Breishis Rabba, the Medrash. Vani Tama, this is, I have a question. Ki Adonai Yosef Sris Haya, V'ishto Benu Rav, Nasa, V'heim Darshu Sris Paro, he was one of the officers of Paro, and he married her when she was young. Malame Shalachu El Tashmish, L'Tashmish V'sarso Kadosh Baruch Hu Begufa. There's a Medrash that says that he was castrated, and that he was really unable to have relations. So how does Rashi make sense? V'od ki ech tifko misatma v'timas be'inei ba'ala lemor lo ki zansa be'ones oberatzon. If she told him that she had an affair with Yosef, it would make her look bad also. It would create a pagam, a psul in her. V'roi hayashi hargena. And really, he would want to kill her as well. Ki lama lo tzaka mitchila. Why didn't she yell out earlier v'yivrach kasher asasa besof, like she did at the end? V'inei la'anshe besa amra bay lai l'shkavimi, lo sheshachav ela shebo lasos kein, v'tza'akti ubarach, v'chol shekein shetastir hadavar mibala. Okay, so she says to the people in her household that he tried to sleep with her, and that he screamed and escaped. I screamed and he escaped. V'chol shekein shetastir hadavar mibala. She should have kept a secret from her husband. V'im tomar kadeshi yichar apo v'yargeu. Maybe she wanted him to get angry and kill Yosef. V'daichi of misa la'evich yavo la'anos eshes asar adonov. She should have just said that Yosef attempted. If Potiphar just knew that Yosef attempted to be with eshes Potiphar, he would have been killed. So why does she have to tell him this whole story? The efshar shiratzu lefarish kadvarim ha'ela and yani tashmish begila ervo mishimush yadaim lo tashmish mamish. The Ramban's pshat is that it wasn't that she was saying to her husband that we actually had an intimate affair, but that there was foreplay going on, and it was not an intimate affair yet, but it was leading to that. Okay, because she wasn't actually with her husband because he was a sris, and she was just saying that just like they were having, you know, I guess not tashmish, but pre-tashmish foreplay, so too Yosef had the same thing with her. So it wasn't actually tashmish itself. And in the end of the Ramban, if you skip to the last two lines, he says, "Vinei me'avas adonavas Yosef loharga." Why did he not kill Yosef? Because he loved Yosef. Oshaya nes me'es Hashem, or it was a nes that Yosef was allowed to live. Oshenestapek bidvareh midaito tzidkas Yosef, or in speaking about Yosef, that there was also an idea. There was a reference to the fact that Yosef would never do such a thing. Meaning, there was an awareness that this wasn't really real, and an unconscious awareness of that. And the Medrash seems to indicate that there was an unconscious awareness that Yosef would never do such a thing. Okay, so the Ramban just pointing out that it wasn't that she was. I mean, it's the same concept that she was showing Potiphar that he could be replaced by Yosef, but it wasn't actually Tashmish itself because he was castrated according to the Medrash. But in the end of the Ramban's saying that it was really a nes that Yosef wasn't killed, but it shows you that there was hashgacha there in terms of the onesh of Yosef. That really, in a natural standpoint, Yosef should have been killed. But the hashgacha was that he'd be placed in jail in order to work out his flaws, in order to lead Klal Yisrael ultimately in the proper way, to be the proper leader of Klal Yisrael. So that is the end of the share tonight. And let me just summarize the points that we made. There's a lot of points. But the motivation of Potiphar, of Eshes Potiphar and Yosef, were tied to the concept of being a ruler. Eshes Potiphar was attracted to leadership, but she also had good qualities. She also loved Yosef's morality. But the fact that she couldn't separate the two and only wanted to be with Yosef because of his leadership was the problem. That was the flaw. And that's why she's different from Tamar. And Yosef, too. What was Yosef's flaw? It wasn't that he thought too much of himself, but it was that he was able to distance himself from his family and able to view himself as a ruler separate from his role in Klal Yisrael. And that would be also be a flaw later on when he led Mitzrayim. He'd also have to constantly be aware of his role in terms of Klal Yisrael and bringing Klal Yisrael into Mitzrayim and Goshen. So what happens? She entices him through two different tactics. Either she's trying to make herself look to be moral in front of him, trying to feed into that, or she's trying to feed into a sense of power and trying to lead him down the path of egocentric power, but he doesn't give in, but he never works out his flaw, according to Rashi. He needs the diokno of his father. He needs the image of his father to not be with her. So finally, he's placed in jail. Why was he placed in jail? Because that was the appropriate punishment for Yosef in order to deal with his leadership issues, the qualities that he lacked. He would only be able to deal with in a lowered state, in a state of being imprisoned. And that is the end of the story, the end of the share. Anybody have questions? Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos, and next week we'll take up the next, maybe Chanukah, or maybe we'll do another parsha shir. Okay, everybody have a good night.